Hello, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Scott.
And this is...
And...
Two Geeks on the Week, the Geek Speak Show.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Geek Speak, the Weekly Geek podcast we missed last week. We're sorry, we're back now, but not in our full form.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Hashtag, where's Steve?
I am sorry, but I'm not that sorry, because it can't be helped. But I'm sorry that it couldn't be helped. But where is Steve? I half expected him to pop up when we were doing the intro, just like an imp from the fifth dimension. Just like, and I'm Steve!
Steve, unfortunately, our calendars, in a very rare occasion, didn't sync up last week, so we couldn't record last week, which we're very sorry about. Fortunately, this week, Steve is unable to join us, but he will be back next week, and he will have recorded a section about Celluloid Screams, the Sheffield Horror Festival, as well. So he will be back in full force next week.
Have we ever, in the history of Weekly Geek Speak, and even going back to our prototype podcast, Two Men and a Mic, ever done a podcast that's just me and you?
Entirely me and you, no, I don't think so.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow. Even though we're like the only constants.
We're the best.
We're the best. But it's weird, isn't it? We've never done it, me and you.
No, we haven't. No.
What if like the dynamics is weird?
I don't know, that's the weird thing, isn't it? Because I've sat with Steve, obviously, when we did the outros of two, and that was usual. Like, that was not unusual, was the word I was trying to say. But this is a whole new ground.
There's a whole host of people who listen to us who have no idea how me and you interact one-on-one.
No, because normally there's some entertaining bearded chat between us that we can entertain ourselves off. But before we get down to see how this dynamic actually does progress, we're a Weekly Geek podcast. Please do subscribe to us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher and Podcastland. You can also find us on twitter.com @weeklygeekspeak. We're also on facebook.com/weeklygeekspeak, believe it or not. Instagram, Weekly Geek Speak, and weeklygeekspeak.com is the home of all things Weekly Geek Speak. Everything you need is there.
There we go. Not everything they need. They need food and oxygen and
everything you need in terms of Weekly Geek Speak. If you want to be that way. You insist.
Because there's always that one who tweets you like, I quit my job because you said everything I needed was
yes,
the only
and that one is you. Tweeting me every day.
I
pedantically.
I got a divorce because you said everything I'd ever need.
So, yeah, we're talking about a lot today. I'm sure we will be talking about the recent trailers and announcements. Nintendo dropped a pretty big one, so we'll be getting to that. But, yeah, this is the weird bit where we just shoot the shit. And where we go, Steve, bring your...
And Steve goes, I watched the fifth episode of Friends, and I was thinking, Gunther, weird, right? He doesn't do that, but in my mind he does that every
he's a lovely guy.
I love him. I'm literally only going to pepper Steve jokes in because I reckon he'll listen because his own weird ego of how does it happen without me will make him have to know what we say
anyway,
when he's not
just
right.
Because he generally does. You don't listen. Do you listen to this often?
Like back?
Yeah.
I always try to. I always try to when I'm going to fall asleep, so I have to miss like I've not heard.
Do we send you to sleep?
I have not heard a Bumpy Goose for about 6 months. but I've heard almost every opening. I'll say.
Well, I'm glad that the glowing review from the presenter of the show.
I used to be like, because you're very like curious how you come across, and did you say something wrong? How did something come across? Oh, I remember something making me laugh. Was it funny? Objectively, or was I just in a giddy mood? So I used to have to militantly listen to everything we ever recorded, but then after a certain point, you're just like, I did kind of live it.
I obviously have to listen to it because I edit it, so I do, and I do sometimes listen to them back. But I find it very strange, like, because when you listen with your editing ears, I always used to say to you, and then you listen with your podcast listening ears.
It is different.
And it's very different. It's very weird.
Well, because that's what I was saying to you, like before we recorded, like when I edit. it weren't the content I gave a shit about. It was how people sounded. So, like, I'd hate myself, not because of anything I was saying, because everything I say is so right on.
Spot on.
It's so right on and amazing.
Cool. Awesome. So, yeah, we might be a shorter podcast. We don't know yet. We're kind of feeling out this new dynamic and things. But we just...
Basically, Andrew, he gets bored of it.
When I get fed up, we're stopping this and you're getting what you're getting. eat your tea and get to bed.
The length of this is the direct length I keep Andrew's amusement.
And thank you for listening to Weekly Geeks. Now, we do have things to talk about, so I don't know whether your news was something we could jump into, or whether we should talk the trailers that have dropped first.
We can talk some trailers and then slip into some news. I'm quite cash about this, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think we should start with... Probably, let's go with the first one that came out in terms of since we've actually last recorded and talked about, and that would be The Power Rangers. The Power Rangers.
The Power Rangers.
The Rangers of Power. The Chronicle, I mean the Power Rangers.
The Mighty Morphine Power Rangers.
Mighty Morphine.
People can do incredible things on morphine. That's what that entire film's about.
Is morphine an opiate?
I think so, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not so the...
There's someone screaming that isn't at me at home, but I can't hear you. Yeah. So I'm going to say
We're not big on our drugs. I was going to say high on our drugs. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, or Power Rangers, or whatever it's called, got a trailer. It's been... I think there was some trepidance when it was announced initially because, well, turtles. And then we've also had some kickback over images of boob armour. But now we've got an actual trailer. We didn't see much of the costumes in there. They only kind of make a slight appearance. So what we watched seemed a very kind of serious, but still kind of fun, but kind of chronically, but kind of Fantastic Four-y.
I've heard a lot of split opinion on it, because like, there's a camp that's like, why on earth you've just made... Because it is... The Chronicle comparisons are not accidental. I think it's an active choice. And then the trailer is geared around... It's very similar. The teenagers find a rock... Get superpowers. It's all in a grounded reality, and then that gives you some worries because another trailer similar to that was Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
and it's a weird direction to take Power Rangers. But by the same token, a lot of people seem to like it because you can't really do Power Rangers the way it was in the 90s when you take Japanese Senpai footage, Super Senpai footage, and then you intersperse it with some like cheap footage that's Nickelodeon drama worthy. Create a show with some like costume pig and then a robot punches it, but it's obviously two guys in an outfit. So there's like a negotiation of modernising it and whatever.
Definitely, quite a hard task.
It is a hard task. So I don't know how to feel about it because I don't feel like I watched a Power Rangers trailer yet. I think I watched a weird setup to get non-Power Rangers fans interested.
Yeah.
So until I see the film or the bits that are Power Rangers-esque, I don't have an opinion.
Yeah, because we saw nothing really of villains, because Bryan Cranston's in there, isn't he? And
he's Zordon, though, I believe.
Is he Zordon?
Yeah.
He's in there, but we didn't see anything of him. We haven't seen any of the Zords, we haven't seen any kind of kaiju.
Just seen Elizabeth Banks, like, creepily hovering over a bed. Which I can't remember Rita Repulsa ever doing.
Maybe.
She'd mostly just stand on the moon going, yeah! Every time.
So yeah, it's a very very odd trailer, that one.
Very odd. I just can't. I don't know. I don't know what to expect by it. But it seems like they've got powers rather than like the ability to get suits to. Yeah.
It's more of a superhero movie in the middle.
But like, I can get along with that if there's some sort of weird explanation of like Zordon mentally implants martial arts on them, and I don't know. You very quickly can get to a place. It's more or less Power Rangers, I guess.
I wonder if their mouths will move, or they'll just...
I hope not. That'd be freaky. What, on the helmet?
Yeah, because they always have to seal black mouths.
I think I'd hate that. Yeah. Even though it's a really, you'd think it'd be a really small thing. I think I'd despise that more than anything. More than boob arm. But yeah, as soon as you see a trailer and you see the Megazord or something, I'm sure people... End of the day, are people that protective over Power Rangers?
Probably not.
It's a very goofy property. I'm as big a Power Ranger fan as you'll find, and I find it goofy, and I'm looking forward to just a weird interpretation of it, to be honest.
So I was in the pub the other day, and I remembered Beetleborgs. Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Do you remember VR Troopers?
Well, this is what I was going to get to. There's a lot of spin-off kind of ones. And the one that I particularly enjoyed discovering was, if I can just find it, which was a real thing, apparently, because I found a list of not knockoffs, but alternative-y thingies. So there are other things like Power Rangers. And apparently there was one called Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills.
I'm in.
Which I will play you a little.
So what's that about?
I don't know, but there's some tattooed teenagers, and they fight aliens.
Oh my
god. Badly hit, but... Even Oaken's kind of like it.
That looks like the sort of thing someone makes as a joke on YouTube now.
Yeah.
That sort of like Kung Fury-esque like piss tape. Oh wow, they combine to make a night.
They don't do intros to shows like they used to.
It looks cool. I'd watch this. I would watch this. The thing with these sort of shows, when they've all got that big power up, where like, it's not the best example, but I'm going to call it Captain Planet Syndrome, right? When your big like go to, fuck, we need help, is to summon Captain Planet. You do it every episode, and it gets really annoying.
Mm.
Whereas not every threat should escalate to that level.
No. Every
like,
time.
That's not a good example, because the show's about Captain Planet.
Mm.
But, like, Power Rangers, the Megazord, right? It always gets to the point where it makes the monster grow, and they need to get the Megazord, and they kill it with your Megazord.
How many times?
Yeah. Everything's killed by your Megazord. Whereas I just want to see that one. And it's made it a bit tricky, but then the Red Ranger just shoots it in their face.
Oh, they team up with the Ninja Turtles and have a special episode.
You know what I mean? It just varies it.
Yeah?
I don't know. I know it's to sell toys and all the rest, and the familiarity is better for children, but, like, I don't know. As a late 20s man watching Power Rangers, it gets very annoying.
Maybe it's not made for you, but who knows?
It is made for me.
It was made for you.
It is made for me and only me.
Next... Let's look at the next trailer as Guardians of the Galaxy 2, the familiar tune. Fill that ears. A teaser more than a trailer.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But interesting, the dynamics seem to have shifted. We seem to see Gamora, what's his face? I'm remembering. Yeah, remembering his wrestling name, not his.
Dave Bautista.
And Star Lord seems to be still together, but Rocket seems to be walking around with the blue faced guy. Sorry, my names are going.
Yondu,
yeah. And yeah, and a little Groot in there as well for good measure. What did you think to this one?
There's not a lot to go on, really. A lot of heroic shots of these guys are back, sort of thing, which I guess you can do as a teaser trailer for a second film, everyone loved.
Mm.
That's absolutely fine. A key scene to show, humour still be a part of it, which is important because it's a big sell of the first film. And then that familiar music to say, you know, that's what you like about Guardians, that all the elements are there.
And you are still hooked on that feeling of joy from the first one.
You are, and I kind of like that choice because obviously the in-universe explanation for the soundtrack, they're the only songs of Earth he has. And then he's got the other tape he got at the end of the film. So I like the idea of the trailer will, in the universe, still have those same songs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, rather than be lazy or go, oh, they think that's the Guardians theme. It does evoke it quite well for a teaser trailer. I thought it was good. There's not too much to get excited about because it's like, yeah, I know all those characters are coming back. Yes, I'm excited to see them all. Yes, that first film was good. It didn't give you much else other than a couple of heroic shots of going, yeah, it's coming. Yay.
Yeah, and similar kind of invoking images, like floaty people, or seems to be in some form of prison thing.
Yeah.
You know, certain kind of explosive weird weapons that they're using.
Yeah,
so they're obviously looking at what made it work in its own sci-fi sense, so it does very much resonate the feeling of the original film. And I think that's very much what they wanted to do, because they struck such a home run with that one.
They did, so I'm very intrigued for the sequel, because what do? The Empire Strikes Back it, and would that go away from the reason we like Guardians, which is a lot of its humour, watchability and attitude?
Star-Lord, I am your father. Or, well, it's definitely going to happen, isn't it?
Or do you do a lot of what made the first one good, and then would that get tiresome, because we have the first one and we've seen it? It's danger. It's second album syndrome, so I'm not too carried away, and I'm not too cynical. I'm just in this weird happy bubble of, I'm very happy to see more, I know it's coming, let's see what happens, let's not build it up, let's not play it down. Do you know what I mean? Like, that weird happy spot.
Build it up, we're going to play down.
Because so many films get really built up,
yeah,
and some get really like, before it's even out, and I just, sometimes it's just nice to go, I'm pretty confident that'll be very watchable, and it's coming.
Well, something I went, ugh, when I saw arrived, but actually came out the other end quite pleased, was the trailer for Logan. Which really, I mean, how many times have we said that X-Men feels like the same film, you know, all the films have the same kind of feeling, la la la. This one felt like more like a drama, the first Logan trailer.
Yeah, it like, because just to explain our relationship with X-Men, obviously it's a 16-year-old franchise now, and whilst that's not a long time in many franchise terms, in terms of comic book movie genre, we've come
ancient, yeah.
Me and my mate were talking about 2005 for some reason, just as a year. And the comic book films that came out that year were like Batman Begins, Elektra, Constantine. And then we both had a moment where we went, how far have we fucking come? Like, Elektra's on Daredevil season whatever. Yeah. We've got this really serious Daredevil we never thought we'd get. And then Batman's on his new iteration in the DC Extended Universe. Constantine had a TV show. The half of, like, T-Prayers are everywhere. And we've come so far. And that's just, like, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So going 2000, that's even longer. But X-Men's endured all that.
Mm.
Now, I say endured, that sounds like a triumph. But I think it's stumbled over all that. And at the points it would have rebooted or maybe adjusted, it continued because of Hugh Jackman, more or less. Because there was always a Wolverine film in development, and they always turned out to be quite disappointing.
Yeah.
So it's weirdly just like, yeah, there's a couple, like, you know, I'm not slagging it off as a franchise, because X-Men 2 is good. The first Clash trilogy, as we'll call it, is very passable. But it never hit the heights it should have, or reinvented itself the way it should have to keep relevant. So when Hugh Jackman's going to do his, like, oh, I don't even want to count, but his 8th for 9th Wolverine turn, his final one, whatever, whatever, with James Mangold, who did the second one, which was two-thirds are fine, and then it gets really terrible. I just, like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And then a trailer hits, and then it looks different. It doesn't look like it reinvents the wheel. It doesn't look like it's like a game changer. It doesn't look like it's going to be the most amazing film ever made. But because it's different, just different, I'm really excited.
Because
it's just gone, old Logan, no other mutants, sort of a buddy cop, like, mortality. It's going to have themes about mortality and age and all the rest. Got Xavier in there to bulk it up.
Definitely good to see Patrick Stewart.
A sort of legacy lineage thing with X-23 in there. And then just looks like a more intimate comic book story, the likes of which you rarely get in film. So I really hope the promise of that trailer, it was a good choice of soundtrack as well, Johnny Cash's rendition of her. But like, I really hope they keep that intimate, small scale story. Because I keep saying comic book films, they should be genre. They shouldn't be comic book films. They can be linked through the fact they're superheroes in them and all the rest. But they should be different genre films. You shouldn't watch Guardians and then watch an X-Men film and say they're the same genre. You should go, oh, they're both superhero films. But, like, one's a space opera and one's a whatever it is. like they should fit into different genres. But and the one genre no comic book film seems to like to accept is that smaller character based intimate story, the likes of which I really enjoy in graphic novel form, that really work well in TV, that really work well, that we praise Netflix for, actually.
Yeah, we do all that.
You don't always have to have aliens falling out of the sky and beams of light.
Beams of blue light.
And hordes of nameless things that can be killed and keep your PG-13 rating. You just want a story with strong characters that evoke the comic books you grew up with. And this...
And utilise the kind of the theories and the situations that comic books bring, and bring a more real kind of feeling to it, and that's what this one feels like. As you say, the subject matter being touched definitely looks like youth, age, and coming together, and
which are really strong, cool themes to play with. And also, it seems ridiculous for someone who he must have the record for the most live action feature film portrayals of a superhero, or him and Iron Man, or whatever, because he's like done it like 8 or 9 times, whatever. But it sounds ridiculous. But I don't think he's ever had a film he can just shade out Wolverine's character perfectly in a small scale intimate story where you get that to Wolverine. He's just being Wolverine, usually in an ensemble film that's weirdly geared towards him, but he's just busy being Wolverine. But you don't get that shading because they're quite throwaway action fairs, whereas this looks like it's attempting somewhat different. Now, this is all conjecture based on a trailer. It might turn out to be your typical Fox superhero film. But if it's the film it's promising, that and Deadpool show maybe a new turning of the corner at Fox, which gets me excited for possibly that they've learned the lessons and they're catching up to where they should be, rather than playing in the 2005 toolbox they think comic book films still belong in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and also the only thing that really like made me think, oh wait a minute, this might still be Foxy, was when the bad guys turned up, they looked very polished and X-Men villainy.
Yeah, and I mean the Wolverine, I remember watching it and a good half of that film I went, oh, you know what, this is very watchable, and it like oh, it's a more low-key comic book film. Oh, I'm enjoying this. Oh, maybe Fox have... No, it's X-Men Origins. It's just turned. So I'm scared of that again. Because the comic bookized ending of sorts. But as far as trailers go, it's a success. And it's taken me from coldly indifferent at best to incredibly intrigued, so... That's a success for Fox. I don't say that a lot.
No, very rare. Moving on, bridging our kind of categories, we'll go into a trailer now for a game. As with great excitement, they've teased it amazingly, Rockstar. They first brought out an image of Rockstar with a red background and a red, black logo. Then the next day they showed a picture of some cowboys on a black cowboys on a red sunset. You know, and it looked fantastic. And
so I thought they're finally making the game version of Blazing Saddles. It's finally happening. And I got really excited. And it was just some Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So many people did. They're excited as well. Like, I've not... Their kind of marketing of this has been really good because it's been very quick over a few days, but it's got enough to get everyone talking about it. And it's been right up there, knowing that Nintendo were going to drop the news that we'll talk about shortly, that they dropped this as well. And half, like, it's distracted so many of the people, I think, because it's just such an exciting prospect. And because I think anyone can say that Rockstar completely have cornered that kind of open world thing now, especially with... I mean, Saints Row was fighting alongside GTA, but now that's been blown out of the water. Because it's another studio for one, but GTA 5 is just a whole new level of gaming experience. And then to see that they do have gone back to Red Dead, which was a fantastic game. I mean, I thought Cowboy GTA that might be boring, and then I bought it, and I was just that game, just love it, hooked.
I always find like Grand Theft Auto is like the runaway success train that like there's no stopping, but Red Dead's that quiet younger brother who's more critically acclaimed and like. It's kind of like, oh, you like that? Well, you really like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the gateway drug, Grand Theft Auto and then Red Dead's the game you go to after.
That's it, yeah. And you look at that trailer there, which is beautiful,
absolutely stunning. It was way too far in to like it's noticeably game footage.
Mm.
Yeah. There'll always be that level of yeah, you're aware it's game footage. Mm. So that's not criticism, but the how far in you go till you go, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
is astonishing.
First few, just take time with a few shots of just beautiful Wild West countryside and things, and it just looks absolutely gorgeous. And you know that that's game footage as well because you've played GTA 5. If you've played the next gen console versions of it, that it's absolutely stunning. It's only when really you are seeing the people and the things that you go, oh, it is a game footage. But even then, it looks fantastic.
We're not down. We're playing it up, not down. Yeah. But I mean, we're just playing it up even more for its visuals at the beginning because I'm like, oh, the film real stuff.
Now I can't tell if it's the same guy or whether we're going with a different guy, but it seems to be the line is when the time comes, you start running, and that's all you get. Like it looks like it's going to be some kind of bandito kind of maybe Magnificent 70 kind of thing. Like people are going to come for you, and there's a bad bunch.
Well, you've got to. Games are no different to films, really. Like you get a success, so you want to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to justify a reason for a new game, and it can't just be it looks better.
Mm.
It's got to be we've evolved certain mechanics, we've evolved characters, do you know what I mean? And so it's a very clumsy thing sometimes. Like look at the Batman Arkham games. They slowly, like story wise, we can debate, but they slowly improve, and then they chuck a Batmobile in, and then that divided people. But like, they should evolve, shouldn't they? There should always be a reason to pick up that next one. So I'll need to know a bit more about that. But you know, you're getting what's going to easily be a fun, open world, beautifully looking game, and that goes so far that you probably don't need to know that. It's just me playing a bit of Devil's Advocate. But I never owned the first one. I just took it for quick spins. But I'm intrigued. If I get a PS4, I'll definitely.
Well, I've said from the off is that whenever I buy a console, it's always a few years after, and it's always there's one game where I just go, right, sorry, I can't hold that.
Same.
And this is it. This is the game where I'm going. I'm doing this.
The big reason I ain't got a PS4 yet, other than obviously financial reasons, is because what game would I buy it for?
Mm. Exactly. I was half tempted when Tomb Raider finally came to PS4. It's just come out, but still, it's not enough of a hook. This is the hook.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like, if someone gave me one tomorrow, I'd go out, buy Arkham Knight, buy Batman Telltale series, buy Red Dead 2 when it's out. Probably the PS4 version, best time of my life. But, like, none of them quite make you go, here's my, I don't know how much they are, 300 quid.
Yeah.
FIFA. Like, I love FIFA. I'm not going to buy a console for £300.
I will just read some of the tweets from our lovely listeners. The Bex Files at Arbitrary Genius was talking about the Logan trailer.
Mm-hmm.
She loved it. Can't wait. Looks like the send-off they deserve. Also, I love X-23 so much. So is this the end for X-Men? Do we know that?
Not in terms of its current iteration of its franchise, but in terms of its personal internal timeline, which we all know is a bit of a mess anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. But then they can always just pretend this is the old man Logan of the aborted timeline that was aborted with Days of Future Past. There's loads of ways you can interpret it. All that matters is it's like a more apocalyptic, but quietly apocalyptic, not like the way people want to take that, the quietly apocalyptic post-mutant world ex-Wolverine film.
Yeah.
Which can be more quiet. But I kind of hope it is as well, because I know, like, when you watch X-Men Apocalypse, not to give anything away, but there's a lot of potential to run with that still.
Yeah.
I don't want them to.
No.
I think we're at a perfect point now, where, and I'm not the guy who cries reboot, and people sigh at reboots, and people aren't ready for reboots, because it never went away, but You tell me you won't get excited when an X-Men trailer drops in 3 or 4 years' time and there's a new Wolverine and he's in yellow and there's a new Cyclops and he's in blue.
Mm.
Are you telling me you won't freak out?
You wouldn't get super excited.
Yeah.
Pip Spooky Mason at Housebroken Geek said, when we said, what are your thoughts on the trailer? And he said, me like many, many, lots, lots, many, lots, lots. I think he was excited.
It's a really good trailer, though. Like, I knew it was dropping this week, but I didn't even remotely care overly. In fact, I watched it casually before coming over because I thought it might come up.
Mm.
Not even because I wanted to. And then went, oh shit, it's kind of good. that's how off guard I was.
So yeah, that's a couple of comments regarding that. I did have a few more asking is when are the trailers out and things from people, so thank you for getting in touch, but we think we tweeted them all. We'll get back to some more of your shout outs later on, but the next big bit kind of news that dropped today,
the NX big thing.
Yeah, the NX big thing. Nintendo Switch, what the hell's that about?
It's not called the NX after all. So to update people, if you don't follow video game rumour and news, is obviously the Wii U, we're talking in big business terms, not in actual real terms, apparently underperformed, especially in the face of PS4 and Xbone.
Kind of a race it could never win.
No, they specialise in online and personal gaming. Nintendo need to focus on their intellectual properties and party games.
Yeah.
It's a different sphere of...
It's cornered its own, like, little area of gaming, hasn't it?
What Nintendo needs to do to compete is get better with third-party games. Mm. So include stuff like Arkham Knight, so you can play really well on the Wii U. And then people will get to Nintendo. Anyway, so because it underperformed and people are like, is it because it's called Wii U? Is it not? I don't know. They've basically been rumours for a while that they're going to jump ahead quicker than the others. That they're already, like... Like, obviously, the PS4 and the Xbox have got a few more years left. Nintendo wanted to get ahead of the game, create a new console quickly. So there were a lot of rumours there'd be a new console very, very soon to announce at the end of the year, and everyone thought it was a bit crazy. It was dubbed the Nintendo NX. We didn't know much about it, and today it's dropped, and it's actually called the Nintendo Switch.
Switcheroo.
And there's a trailer demonstrating its functionality, or its key functionality, which is, it looks like fucking magic.
A lot of attractive people playing the game, first of all. I just noticed that. They're very attractive.
They're not going to get like 4 trolls.
I think there should be some fat people just sat there playing it.
Well, because
that's what another corner is. Some people still might want to be fat and sit at home and play. No, they're all slim and attractive. But that point aside, yeah.
Well, if you remember the Wii adverts when they used to get like Harry Redknapp and Jamie Redknapp, only one of them is attractive, and it's not Harry.
And what was it, JLS all wanking the controller?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I'm playing Mario! No, you're not. You're playing Rabid Rabbits, you stupid band that's irrelevant now.
that's fine. I was only joking, but I did notice they were all very...
Yeah, but, you know, adverts.
All the people we aspire to be, apparently.
So, I'm sure you've all seen it. I'm sure we've tweeted it, or we will. But its functionality is really weird. So, you've got a pad, but you've got two aspects of the pad that slide off. So, basically, your key bit of the pad is just a holster for these two side bits you're holding. And you can slide them off, slide them on the console, and then pick your console up like a tablet...
of a screen, much like the screen for the Wii U in a way, that it's a handheld little screen,
but it's one you slide on yourself casually. But also you can take these slides off and they work at a distance, so if you set it up in front of you, you can play at a distance as well. So the whole trailer is just demonstrating every possible
And it's not only this, that's not, because like the Wii U you can play it and wander around your house playing it. This is, you can take it out on the train, on the bus, this is what
you can
show.
Go anywhere.
Oh, my mates are at the pub, the swanky little rooftop bar across the way that we all have.
Yeah.
Let me go over there with my sorry Mr. Clark. But also what I liked is then you can actually use the one controller that slides off and you can click together and have as one controller, as two controllers to then play.
And the whole trailer just shows every permutation, every possibility of this console, and it just looks like fucking magic. I it's an advert. Will it be that straightforward? I'm sure it's a bit more clumsy in a certain regards, but the idea is so solid.
And they're like popping your memory card in as well. That's sensible.
Because, like, if we wanted to play, like, I lent you Mario Maker, for instance. If we wanted to play Mario Kart one day, and oh, you're going to bring a pad or whatever, I could bring my fucking console casually, play it on my way to you, stick it in yours. It's crazy. So it looks fantastic and different and interesting and a potential game changer. However, technology-wise, yeah, that's all very impressive. But games, it's games, always games.
All the same games. It was Splatoon and things, and the same what we've seen before.
Well, the new Zelda looks fantastic, oh, and it's promised to be open world, and it looks big. You'll always get your Mario and Mario Kart games, I'll always sell. Again, I just think they need to heavily push the properties they do have, and then get some third-party ones, and then they'll be a real contender again.
The other question is battery life and things, and is this is very gimmicky? Is this a gimmick, or is this actually is this the future of gaming? You won't know until it comes out.
But this is what I kind of like about Nintendo. It's not just like because yeah, the different like, you can quote me specs and all the rest. Mm. I'm not going to be that geeky and into the hardware, but like PS4 and Xbox, they're the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah.
But what I do like about Nintendo is they do try and innovate their consoles.
Yeah, definitely. And trying is better than doing the same thing over and over. And
yeah, and it's like...
At some point, it is going to change, let's be honest.
And yeah, because one day, they're going to hit on that idea that just makes it like, and you've won. And it could be this, and it might not be. But there's heavy rumours as well that they're going to do the first ever consoled proper Pokemon game on it.
Really?
Which could work with its style, because you can take it around and all sorts. So imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the way that... And I think Pokemon will change after Pokemon Go. They've got to, like, it's seen a new world, it's shown a new audience. That because, let's be honest, the Pokemon games at the moment, they're great for kids, and they're great for people who played the game originally, like our age. But Pokemon Go's opened it up to a whole host of new possibilities. Indeed.
And you've got to capitalise on that. And it's just leaving money on the table, like... Mm-hmm. Pokemon's a huge property, why wouldn't you try and do that? I know they've done your Pokemon Colosseums and stadiums, but if you do a proper all mod cons console Pokemon game, it'd sell like gangbusters. But it's not just that, just like because we live in a very technological age, we've all got smartphones, we've all got tablets, we've all got laptops, and we all do the same things on them. We're on our apps, we're watching, we're streaming, we're doing this or the other. They're basically providing a console that will play all your games and potentially can do all that as well.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying it'll replace your phone, but I'm just saying if you're going on a flight, rather than stick it on your iPad, would you want to take your Nintendo so you can play games or maybe switch to a film? I don't know if that capability is necessarily on it. I heavily suspect it will be because you can on your Wii U and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could be a game changer, this.
Possibly. Our lovely, hairy co-presenter who's not here today... has weighed in on some of the topics we've been talking about. Red Dead trailer looks fucking incredible. The Nintendo Switch, take my money now. And Logan trailer definitely intrigued him. So Steve seems happy, as usual.
I think that, weirdly, everything we said. Yeah. Yeah. Do we agree this much when he's in the room?
I don't know.
Do you think he purposely disagrees with me?
I don't know.
For antagonistic reasons.
I don't think he does. I think you more disagree with him to see however you can get a rise.
You're right, actually. It's completely led by me. Yeah. And I enjoy it, and I don't apologise when I...
So, Sky's got a few more news stories for us today on TMZ.
So...
Teams.
So it's rare for me to do the news because our lovely co-host Steve usually does it. So I had to quickly.
It's time for the news. It's not his turn.
It will not be your turn, Mister, until you turn up. So I had to quickly cobble together. So we touched on a bit of it, but let's get into it. So the big. I'll start big.
Sorry, I'm playing with the cigarette.
Why are you playing with my tobacco?
Because it's exciting, isn't it? It's what big boys do.
It's big, but it's not clever. I'll start big. If you start big, I'll go home. Space Jam is getting a 20th anniversary re-release. That's right, the greatest sports movie ever made, Space Jam. It's getting re-released for its 20th anniversary in select theatres. Rumours are it's to test the waters if it's worth making a sequel with LeBron James.
Well, this has been flying around, and it even did garner a little response from one of our favourite contributors, at Mr. Paisy Boozy Peasy, Paisy Poos, who said, in junior school, at Notebloom, gave me a Space Jam shirt that I still wear to this day. Maybe my oldest clothing. Got 15 retweets and 34 likes.
That's because Space Jam's one of the greatest films ever made. Bill Murray's best film. These are just objective facts that can't be
best film.
Bugs Bunny's best film. Objective facts that can't be argued.
Bugsy Bloom. I don't even know.
I do like Rabbit Season. If we're including shorts.
It's in Webby.
So that's exciting.
Everyone is exciting. I'm so excited. What's your oldest piece of clothing?
Ooh. I've got a lot of old football shirts. Like, because you feel like you can't chuck away football shirts because they get a weird vintage retro-ness. So I've got a lot of, like, early 2000, late 90s Sheffield United football shirts. And some England ones. So gutted, though, because one day I realised my mum chucked some of my football shirts away. And she also chucked all my old Attitude Era wrestling shirts away. And some of them are classic. So I've lost, like, 3 Rock shirts, a Road Dog shirt, an Undertaker shirt, a Stone Cold shirt.
Your mum just, like, goes in your room and throws things away?
Well, she went through a phase of doing it. I don't think she does it anymore.
I was going to say, it wasn't recent, was it?
To this day...
Invasive.
It's very invasive. Well, this was many years ago now, but, like, I'm still grieving it.
Evidently, yeah.
Still grieving it many years later. Because mums don't understand... I think Will Smith rapped about it once in one of his write-on raps. Because I listen to rap music. Will Smith.
It's Will Smith.
Parents just don't understand. Yeah.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice. Will Smith.
Grandmaster Flash.
They have that East Side West Side rivalry, don't they? Where
the gang warfares.
They shoot insults at each other.
Yeah. and yeah, true. Tell you to respect each other.
Yeah, Disney live action is becoming quite big. Obviously, we've had Maleficent. Alice in Wonderland was financially successful. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, and Jungle Book did really well earlier this year. Beauty and the Beast on its way. We've been hit, obviously, the Lion King remakes, big news. So the two rumoured coming up on top of that are Mulan, which is exciting a lot of people, and live action Aladdin, which is purportedly having Guy Ritchie lined up, according to the Hollywood Reporter.
Because for some reason he keeps getting jobs.
The film will apparently have non-linear narrative elements. For Aladdin,
okay.
But will retain many of the songs from the 1992 original Disney film. How do we feel? I remember a bit of controversy where you and Steve don't actually like Aladdin.
I don't like Aladdin, but then I actually thought about Disney films and Disney films I like. There's very few.
I don't understand people who don't like Disney.
What Lion King? I think that is pretty much it.
Because I grew up and I was just so surrounded by Disney that they just like latch onto your like soul, if you know what I mean.
I found the Jungle Book boring, Sleeping Beauty boring.
Oh, you can not Beauty like
the Beast
a lot of them.
Boring. And overall, I found a lot of them boring.
Fair enough.
That is 101 Dalmatians, but not yeah, that wasn't.
How would you feel about a live action adaptation of it though? Because the problem is...
more Dalmatians, it happened.
Well, that did happen with Jeff Daniels and Glenn Clark.
It was ahead of the curve, wasn't it?
It really was. I prefer that version.
I think I do, actually, yeah.
Weirdly. I know that might sound heresy to some. My intrigue about this is Robin Williams, probably one of his fondest roles, is voicing the genie. Would people feel the same way about Jason Statham voicing the genie?
I don't know. If you're doing it, you've got to try and match, haven't you?
Do you reckon they might stunt cast it and then, like, weirdly it'll be like Robert Downey Jr. or something?
Maybe. They might. I think
that'll be a way around it.
Because
people feel like they're not allowed to criticise him.
But then, like, in The Lion King, how are they going to do Pumbaa, you know? Nathan Lane, sorry, Morty Mone, and that kind of icon. There's a lot of iconic voices in there.
The beauty of that, though, is the way they're doing it, which I assume is very similar to the Jungle Book. You could literally probably get away with the same cast.
But that just seems a little...
But it'd look more impressive, it'd be slightly different. I don't know. That might not be what's happening. It probably isn't what's happening. But it's not like adapting the 60s Jungle Book where everyone's dead.
No, true.
Interesting, I guess. Like a lot of these live action stories, it's just, we'll see, isn't it? It's very interesting. So Warner Brothers are considering a new Willy Wonka adaptation, because there's not enough of them.
Someone's crying out for that.
And they're reimagining it with the producer of the Harry Potter franchise and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Flog a franchise that died. Producer David Heyman is partly leading it, and Kevin McCormick's been hired to pen the script, who did The Secret Life of Pets, which went down well early in the year. And apparently it's going to focus on his origin films, which neither Willy Wonka books, Roald Dahl, writ ever touched on.
Which is stupid, and I don't like this idea at all.
I just feel... You've got an iconic film with Gene Wilder, who's only just passed away. Not that that should matter, but it weirdly does. And then you've got a fairly decent Tim Burton reimagining of it with Johnny Depp. That's pretty recent as far as adaptations go.
Yeah, very, yeah.
What are you going to do that's different from those two films that will...
Well, that's it, isn't it? And you don't want... It, or going for an origin just seems so lazy as well. Well, let's do something different. Origin.
I don't give a shit how he got a chocolate factory.
No.
I care... That's the
mystery, isn't it? It's such a weird...
He's a weird man.
...mysterious place.
Yeah, he's like a weird man with the most weird magical factory. Mm. I don't care how he got the factory.
It was even bits like when they touched like origins of where they found Umbalumpas and... His dad was a dentist in the Tim Burton one, which were the worst bits.
Yeah, they were the worst. The weirdest bits, at least. I don't... There's a weird obsession about explaining things.
Yeah, like we need to know everything.
Like, let's do a TV show about how he became him. Why? I like him as him. Do a TV show, he's him. Because I was watching the new series of Supergirl, and obviously they introduced Superman into it. So Superman's been in the first two episodes. And in five minutes, they'd shown me and given me more Superman than Smallville did in 10 years,
really?
Which is the reason I watched Smallville. Doesn't that just tell you that... Just do a Superman show. I know that's retrospective, Smallville's over, I'm not having a go. But like when they come up with a Gotham series, why can't you just do a Batman series?
Batman series, yeah. I think the idea we had was still the best way to go. Yeah, just a silly idea. It just seems like another idea. Because they're not coming up with interesting things, just flog a property. Oh, everyone's talking Willy Wonka now, let's do that.
I think Warner Brothers are a bit desperate for franchises at the minute, to be honest, because they're obviously pushing the DC thing, which is like, that's good of them. But Harry Potter did end, so they're kind of trying to boost it with Fantastic Beasts. I'm not convinced it's going to be the same. And then now there's talk of this, and it just feels like they're trying hard to look for stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe they need to go back to the drawing board and create a new franchise, because franchises are all born from somewhere, and it doesn't have to be from comics and pre-existing things. Look at Back to the Future and things, you know, they were created.
Terminator was just James Cameron sat by a script coming up with a concept. That should have been a great franchise.
And it's not like everything's been done.
No.
Everything will never be done, you know? No. Cinema's still relatively young in the longer term things. There's so many places you can go.
I know, but people like brand recognition, they see it as a safe bet.
It's easy, isn't it? It's money, it's printing money.
It's easy.
Because Fantastic Beasts, it might not be very good, it might be excellent, but either way, it's going to make money.
Because are you going to watch the original idea, Philly Fonka and the Marmalade Warehouse? No, it sounds weird. Ooh, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I used to read that to my children. I will take my grandchildren. That's bullshit, isn't it? anyway, the Hollywood Reporter also reports that DiCaprio's production company, Appian Way, have signed a first look deal with Paramount for the character Captain Planet.
Interesting.
So apparently they're... That doesn't necessarily mean it's happening. It means they're trying to manoeuvre one. But, like, apparently their version of Captain Planet is reportedly a washed-up has-been, who needs the kids more than he needs that they need him. So they've reimagined, basically, the most pure 80s thing of this eco... This, like, overtly eco-messaged thing of all these kids getting together to summon Captain Planet. And they're going to reimagine him as a man who desperately needs children.
Sinister.
It's just...
Wait, but maybe that's, interestingly, Planet now needs the people. Not the other way around, you know what I mean? Like, he's getting old and...
Because he's an extension of the planet,
yeah.
So he needs us to maybe pitch in rather than us...
The people need the planet. Maybe now there's a time that people have to step up and save the planet.
Maybe. Conceptually, that might be interesting. Maybe that's why they're doing it, for a different eco message that's not just...
More modern eco message.
Because I tried... Because my mum was like, are you not going to recycle? And I was like, well, I summon Captain Planet. So I feel I do my bit.
Huh?
And...
Why are you shooting that panda? Well, Captain Planet.
Captain Planet's going to, like, sort that, isn't he? What do you mean? It's like, I've got a ring and it sets fires. What do you mean it sets fires?
What's your about? I've lost my mind. No, but the planet now needs us.
Well, like my friends aren't with me to summon him. I'm not mental.
By myself, am I? I'm not weird.
Just saying, I play with my ring.
Pass me that space so I can kill the baby. Panda, not...
But I just thought that was interesting. But in a day and age, we can't get a He-Man film or a Thundercats film.
But Captain Planet...
Captain Planet might get
an
one.
An alcoholic Captain Planet.
Yeah. It never says alcoholic, but I did assume alcoholic, and I don't know why. There's something about washed up that makes you think alcohol.
Don't go down to that Captain Planet's house. You can't trust him.
Yeah, it's like Gran Torino, where Captain Planet's just this old curmudgeon-y man on his... Someone knocks, going, can you help me? The oil company's gone out of hand. And he's like, get off my lawn.
I am the ball back, Mr. Planet.
Fuck off my lawn.
We've got to help this guy.
I'd watch it. I'd watch the film. So, reportedly, according to Joe Manganiello, sorry for butchering that name, a.k.a. Flash Thompson, a.k.a. the guy in Magic Mike, a.k.a. the new Deathstroke, the Batman, Ben Affleck's The Batman, will start filming as early as spring 2017, this next year, which would have it on course for the rumoured October 5th, 2018 date. There's a couple of mystery dates. Warner Brothers have mystery projects on. And we're not sure where it fits, but this seems to go in line with the idea it could be that. However, is that too quick for a Batman film?
I don't think so. Well, though, after Justice League.
Basically, it's 2 years from now.
How long were the...
Because films take as long as they take, I feel. But I do feel, when I look at comic book films, your better ones have taken 3 years and your lesser ones have taken two.
Well, we all know that Warner Brothers are doing things quickly. I guess that's not changing in this instance either.
But by the same token, if you've got your ducks in a row...
Their money will come from Batman. It's their safest card to play.
You cannot fail with your Batman then.
You can't, even if it's a Schumacher one, I guess.
Yeah, but that made money.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You can't fail. Like, it's just...
You were saying earlier, franchises print money, and there's not many so stronger than that. Like Batman over the years, since the 80s, even before it was selling. Batman will always sell, no matter if you like or dislike the incarnation.
And bizarrely, because of a bit done during an interview for The Accountant, Ben Affleck's current film, which looks really good, I'm going to see it soon, Anna Kendrick did a little skit for it where she was campaigning to be Robin. Mm-hmm. It's quite a funny thing where she wanted to be Robin in the Batman film. And this has got a weird amount of internet traction where people are weirdly campaigning for her to be Robin.
Mm.
So I wanted to gauge your thought on that because I have thoughts on this. First of all, my big thought is it was a joke, internet.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get into my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's a joke, internet. But maybe... what's her face from the Dark Knight? Lady Robin, because...
Carrie Kelly.
Carrie Kelly. I think that that might be an interesting way to go if you were to do Robin, because we obviously know we've got to the Jason Todd point by the look of it already in the past of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe going there's a way to go. I wouldn't mind that. I don't have anything against that. Because it is, even though it's in a kind of Elseworld spin-offy kind of book, which is not necessarily placed in the Batman timeline, it does kind of
the biggest influence for this Batman
story. Yeah, so I don't have an issue with that. I think that's a...
I think if you are going to include a Robin, if you're hell-bent on including a Robin, I completely agree. But there can be a Nightwing out there. We've got Jason Todd. Rather than a Tim Drake or a Damian Wayne, why not have a girl, have Carrie Kelly? But more than that, I feel like... So you've introduced him in a big film with Superman. We're going to see him scattered around all these films with other superheroes. And he's going to be in Justice League. When you get to his big solo film, do you really want him to have a sidekick?
I don't know. I think it's something that's perhaps been lost and not made the most of in modern-day Batman incarnations, that the fact Robin is a great big piece of the puzzle.
It's an area you could really... It's the big loss of the Schumacher films, really. Because we got redemption for Two-Face, but we've not had redemption for Riddler or Robin.
And also, let's have a look at... The great thing about this DC universe that's been created is, whereas Marvel is... here's a character, here's the origin and the beginning of this character, the beginning of this character, and they're all joining. This weird DC universe we've started in, we know, Superman has arrived later than normally happens. We're discovering some of the metahumans now, but there seems to be big indication that what's been happening in Gotham has been happening a long time.
I kind of like what they're...
So they kind of pull these characters and go, this character's always been here, now you're learning about it, but it's always been in the background.
I like that, though, because the implication is Superman's arrivals change things, and people are coming out of the shadow. It's a bit of a...
We don't have to hide anymore.
Yeah, it's almost...
And we are the public.
It's the Batman theory, like, Gotham's always been corrupt with criminals, but he turns up and suddenly everyone's a bit theatrical and a bit... Did Batman cause that? Probably, because it seems to happen when Batman starts. The real reason is we needed villains for Batman, but in-universe, there's a weird twisted sense to it. Gotham reacts to the Batman and that creates more theatrically dyed villains, and this is a theme played off in, like, on Halloween, Dark Victory, and in the Nolan Batman film. The DCEU has kind of done that with Superman, when he's gone, yeah, there's always been, like, Deadshot's always been around, Batman's been fighting crime for years. However, it's not till this moment Superman comes down and Metropolis ascends and all this. Shit gets a bit weird.
I think that's...
I like that a lot.
Actually. I like that. I think that's the way that it goes. And it's just pulling people out the background and going, right, it's been around, now you're learning about it, they're already pre-established. That's exactly what Suicide Squad did, and it went...
Yeah,
these are all pre-existing characters. They're not finding themselves in this film. They already exist. The Joker.
Because, you know? Like, this is not a criticism of Marvel. It's just explaining timeline. But, like, the Marvel films, yeah, Captain America's separate.
Mm.
But basically, all their adventures happen in, like, the space of, like, a week, and then they team up.
Mm.
Which is a bit weird and coincidental.
Mm.
That's not a criticism at all. It's brilliant. Works. But I just like in universe. I like it. We can argue about how they've unfilled the films and released the characters and how they're rushing.
It's just a different way of doing it.
Yeah,
and I think that's what would lend itself to having a Robin. And if it is, then why not go to the end of the timeline where we are?
But I like the because there's a lot of mileage in the death of Jason Todd, like his feelings towards that. There's a lot of mileage in the fact there's a Nightwing and he might be like estranged from Batman. All this. So there's a lot of mileage there to work with. Whereas a new Robin, I think that would mean, just because of the backstory, the better way to do that would be to have a film that's Robin-led. And is that better for the Batman 2 if this is still going, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Rather than there's just a Robin.
Mm.
I don't know. But that's just. She's also. But that was a joke, it's important to remember. And she's kind of been campaigning for Squirrel Girl at Marvel,
yeah.
Which I think she'd be perfect for.
Yeah.
If they ever got round to doing Squirrel Girl. But yeah, comic books. I've always wanted comic books to be real. And then they are now, because we've got a billionaire evil bigot going for the presidency. Oh my gosh. It's like Lex Luthor, isn't he? And we've got killer clowns on the streets.
It's true, but they're not killing anyone yet.
But they're terrorising.
Terrorising.
Shall we say terrorising? Is that a strong word? Probably not for the news. But fortunately, comic books are real, good and bad, because Batman is real. BBC Cumbria has reported Batman is taken to the streets to get rid of the clowns.
It's not some middle-aged man who's had his children taken away from him this time, is it? No,
it's
Fathers for Justice, was it?
It's a young person. It's a young person who. I bet the incident's been blown up. I bet it were one person on a stag do who saw a clown and went, "Fuck off, you're scaring that woman." And then everyone's like, "Batman's real."
Can you imagine the film version when they take that line though and it's like, "Fuck off, you're scaring that woman."
It's like the dude.
What are you playing at, mate? What are you playing at? Have you seen this knobhead? It's like taking the British dialogue.
We don't usually latch on to these stories that like pervade the news. But it is a weird time where it's been a very weird year. There's been a lot of like, you know, it feels like one of the worst years I can ever remember.
Brexiting, people dying.
Brexit, Trump wars, fucking celebrity deaths left, right, and centre. But we do live in weird comic book times, but without any of the benefits.
Or maybe think? Because the benefits are that we don't live in comic book times and we just read them in a book, and now we are in a book, and it's just a horrible
and we're all very ill-equipped to deal with. Yeah, it's probably that. So finally, to be more uplifting on comic books, DC Comics and Boom Studios are teaming up with Saban Brands to release a 6-issue monthly miniseries crossover of possibly the two of the biggest films of next year. We're going to have Justice League meets Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh, wow.
The team of Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern and Cyborg will meet Zach, Kimberly, Jason, Trini, Tommy and Billy in a crossover event.
But will there be any tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills involved?
We don't know who the villains are.
Then if it's still on the cards, I'm in.
My, I'm curious what DC villain's going to inexplicably be giant for the Megazord to need to be used.
What giant? There must be one. Marvel like doing the giant. They've got small, like, don't they?
But rather than have a giant one, because you've got a few, but like I think they'll just weirdly blow someone up. Do you know, like Rita Repulsor always used to go, "Grow!" I think there'll be a moment like there's just a giant atomic skull for no reason.
You see, I went, all of it, I don't know why, my head just went Muppet Man, and I had all the villains in a costume looking
at Muppet Man.
Remember Muppet Man?
Who's Muppet Man?
Muppet Man, who's when all the Muppets get in a costume, make a big tall man.
Oh, in the film.
Yeah.
I thought you meant a carrot. Oh, the Muppet Man. The Muppet Man. Yeah, can you imagine the entire Legion of Doom in a giant trench coat? With Lex Luthor's tiny head poking out.
I've got you now. Yep, that's what's going to happen. Muppet Man.
But that's exciting. I like weird crossovers.
Very weird.
I've been meaning to buy the Batman meets Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I've got a few Batman meets Judge Dredd comics.
Yeah, they're good.
I've got a few Justice League meets Avengers comics. They're rare. Any weird crossover, I'm usually down. So I wanted to end on that one because that's the good side of comics.
The good side of comics.
The good side.
Groovy. Well, let's have a quick one more look over Twitter to see if there's any more interactions. Remember, you can interact with us on Twitter, our weekly geek speak.
On the Twitter!
On the Twitter! Remember, we have a competition running as well on Twitter with a Swift creation to win some Halloween goodies. There's one more week going on that. All you have to do is retweet the tweet you have to tell us your favourite horror movie and also follow Weekly Geekspeak on Twitter and on Facebook. Do the same, share the post, comment on it, your favourite thing, and just like our page, Weekly Geekspeak, and you can win a fantastic bundle. Also follow A at A Swift Creation. He's very talented and does some great work. At Robbie Polanco, our good friend Robbie, the podcast superfan, he said 4 out of 5 for the first Blair Witch Project, so he enjoyed that.
Yeah. Well, it's just a lot. It's a bit of a lot. However you feel about certain films, you always have to begrudgingly respect a view of them, and I do think most horror aficionados will tip their hat to Blair Witch for its cultural resonancy, if nothing else.
He also said he had a glimmer of hope for the latest Ninja Turtles film. Thank you for our review. Yes.
I thought you were going to say
thank you for ruining
it. I did, to be honest, because that's a big nostalgia. Like, we all get drunk on nostalgia, and I grew up on Ninja Turtles, and I liked everything that I heard. But I went in with a trepidant mind because of the first one. And it's just the first one, but weirdly worse, because it's almost a bigger perversion of everything.
In sad news, we probably will get a Ninja Turtles 3, but we probably won't get a Hellboy 3 now, because Ron Perlman has officially given up. This is what Steve tweeted at us. Address Pirate. He will be back next week.
That's a shame, but, you know, we've got those two films, and someday, eventually, someone will return and make a new Hellboy film, because Hollywood...
Indeed.
But he was... Because there's a bit of a myth in Hollywood. And it's not to do anyone down, but this is the idea that certain people can't be replaced. There cannot be another Iron Man after Robert Downey Jr. There couldn't be another Superman after
Chris. Can we just lay one down? I never thought they could do Kirk again after Shatner.
Exactly.
And Chris Pine did a cracking job. Same with Nimoy and...
It's just a fallacy. Exactly. Like, no one can be Joker after Heath Ledger. It's a fallacy. Someone can always do it. So, like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. has bodied a character perfectly.
And it doesn't mean that that takes anything away from the original. No.
But he's embodied a particular Iron Man perfectly. Doesn't mean in 10 years we can't have a new Iron Man that's slightly different. And it doesn't mean we can't have a different Hellboy in 10 or 15 years. As good as Ron Perlman is as Hellboy.
As good as he is. Muthridge Caniv at M3JCNV said... I've been game for this since day one, digging the Breakfast Club meets Chronicle Direction, and he was talking, obviously, about Power Rangers, waiting for Cranston teaser, because he wants to see what Cranston's like in there.
They've addressed the weird racialness of the Power Rangers, have you noticed? So, obviously, it's an old joke, but they're all colour-coded in a slightly offensive way, if you step back and look at it. Whereas Billy's now... Billy the Blue Ranger is now black, and then Black Ranger is now Asian. So they've sided everyone in a weird way. Do you think they anticipated?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we're living in a day and age where you can have a pink one who is a woman and a yellow one who is Chinese. It's all a bit weird. It's just wrong in a way.
Yeah, but
so they've addressed it well.
It would have been very easy just to keep to the same typecasts, but
slightly wrong.
It just more amuses me that you know a conversation must have happened. Do you know what I mean? Do you know they must have had one?
Alpha Brony, the real Alpha Engel, his name is now, at Alpha Brony. He was at the New York Comic Con, and he's pretty psyched because he was at the Power Rangers panel and said it was really cool when the trailer dropped. He also said John Wick 2 looks awesome, and the new NBC show Midnight Texas was interesting. So he had a good time.
I'm jealous, because after San Diego, I think I'd go to New York Comic Con. I need to do an American con. It's on my bucket list. This trailer looks cool. I'm very much in wait and see mode. John Wick 2, I'm super excited for. I love John Wick. I recommended it 1 week on our recommend.
You did, yeah.
It's like the way people enjoy Taken is how I enjoy John Wick. It's like a Taken film for us, where it's just daft enough to be enjoyable, but just good enough to be watchable. It's that perfect, like, it's daft but done really seriously, but in a good way, but it's hilarious.
Thank you for listening. We will read you as my phone died.
Did it? Do you want me to read them?
Andrew Bartlett. No, we'll save the last one.
Thank you very much.
That's how professional we are here.
To
where
everyone.
Our outro can be cut short simply by phones.
Thank you very much for listening. You can find us at Weekly Geek Speak on Twitter. Please do subscribe, like, review, and rate on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, and Podcastland. We're also on Facebook.com/WeeklyGeekSpeak and WeeklyGeekSpeak.com. Please join us. Steve will be back next week. We'll be covering celluloid screens. We will be covering various other things that will happen in the next week. And at some point, maybe the week after, we'll be doing a recommend, decommend.
Oh, yeah.
Where we talk films and that.
I like films.
What do you like about films?
I like the fact they happen in front of my eyes.
The events of the films play out across my eyes. It's... And my brain takes these concepts and storylines and makes opinions on them. And then I go on forums and write that was shit.
I like because the isolated images and the persistence of vision gives me the... this illusion of movement, and then I create meaning out of the juxtaposition of shots to perform a story that satisfies me on some base level.
And also, on a DVD of Titanic, I like to pause it and wank.
Oh, we should get to knock his eye in that one. We watched it at school.
Cracking.